Oh, Joel's here. How you doing?
Welcome, Joel.
Yeah, there's somebody here from Detroit, actually.
Me.
So I wanted to know, introduce you. His name is David. His wife is heading the NCS, one of the heads of the NCS wife for women. They have a women's
division. They have women too?
Yeah, there's one for men, one for women. I don't know where it's located. I think it's somewhere here in this neighborhood. It's like 100 women. It's like a major program. So they're Detroit people. They're here for, I think, 6 weeks. So I'll say, if you could open up to Daf Hey Amud Beis. Daf Hey Amud Beis. And we're going to start with Yosef Rav Nachman, which I think is approximately, say, 15 lines up from the bottom.
Get this out of your way.
So keep in mind, we're constantly trying to prove, one way or the other, whether or not you can have a karbon, and it's not mechaper, it's not meratzah, but yet it's still kosher. Reish Lakish has a problem with that. And that led him to ask a question about the first Mishnah in Zvachim, because if the karbon v'shechtim shalol l'shma, it's kosher, but it's not meratzah, and the bialim have to replace it with another karbon. So now the Gemara wants to try to prove that there is such an entity of a karbon without ritzu that's kosher from the case of Liacha Misa. And that's what he says. He says, Vyasvi v'ka'amri hadukamar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar was the one who responded to Reish Lakish with the sentence, with the declaration, Matsinu Bidboyin Liachar Misa Sheikh Sherim Vienna Maratzim. And the question is, if someone was mafresh a karbon and the karbon is going to be brought by the Yarshim after his death, is that going to be a breakthrough? That's going to be a precedent for a karbon that has no ritzu, insofar as the person who for whom the karbon was dedicated is dead, he's not alive to enjoy the benefit of the ritzu. And yet the carbon is kosher. And therefore, Hanu Nami Lesu Vilratsu. In other words, we can bring these carbonos and we can be machsha the carbon. Now, again, to be machsha the carbon after the person is gone, you're going to have to postulate, according to Reish Lakish at least, that there's a ritzui. And how can there be a ritzui? How can this carbon be meaningful to generate a kapara for someone who's dead? And the answer has to be that the yarshim, when they bring the carbon after the death of the morish, they step into the shoes of the deceased parent in this case to achieve the kapara. That somehow the kapara is meaningful for them. Again, according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is, you know, his flagship, his principle that he's not willing to loosen up on is that the karbon has, in order to be kosher, it has to have a ritzui, and at the same time, liachar misa, there is no ritzui on behalf of the deceased. It's going to have to be a ritzui on behalf of the yarshim. Everybody's with me on that.
Well, and he doesn't say there's no ritzui for the mace. It could be ritzui for the mace, but there's no kapara.
So, okay, maybe we can assume that if there's no ritzui, then Reish Lakish holds a karbon without ritzui is not a karbon. It can't be kosher.
Right.
And the only way, therefore, we can justify a karbon that's being brought by the yarshim, liachar misas aviyahem, would be if there's ritzui for the yarshim. Because otherwise the karbon should be possible.
A ritzui karbon, so to speak.
Correct. They become the bala karbon right. Through the process of Yerusha. And if they step into their father's shoes and they become now the bala karbon, if they gain that status, then the ritzui is now their ritzui.
Right, exactly.
Okay, then? So it's a very paradoxical situation where the karbon was originally designated on behalf of the father and for his sins and so forth and so on. Or we'll see in the case of Yoledis now. And yet the karbon, even though it was designated, which is called Hafrasha, on behalf of the father, can generate a ritzui on behalf of the Arshim, insofar as they now acquire the status of Baal HaKarbon. And that's the way Reish Lakish is going to have to justify this carbon that's being brought posthumously by the Yorshim. Omer lehem Rav Ado bar Masno. Rav Ado says the following, that the proof of Rav Elazar is from the case of what's called an olas yoledes, which means that during her lifetime, after she gave birth, she designated and brought a carbon chatos. The second carbon in the series is going to be an ola. She didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to bring the ola. And now her children are going to bring the ola as yarshim on her behalf. So the answer has to be that yoledesim hi yolda, but now mi yolda. Rabbi Lozzer is going to have to argue against Reish Lakish the following. Don't suggest that the yarshim are now going to get the ritzui of this karbon after the death of the yoledes, because actually they didn't give birth, right? The Gemara assumes now, Rav Ado bar Masna, that the ritzui in the case of a carbon yoledes, we're talking about the ola now, is designated exclusively for the yoledes herself, and yet the yarshim are bringing the carbon. And the Gemara asks it in a sort of rhetorical question, if he yolda, but now me yolda, meaning if this ritzui is dedicated for the yoledes, insofar as she gave birth, how is it going to achieve a ritzui on behalf of those who are not in that situation? They're not a yoledes, right? And the answer has to be, and Reish Lakish is going to have, you know, his back is going to be against the wall, that you can have a carbon that's kosher without ritzui. Let's just analyze this. Mimonim Shalt is no ritzui. There can't be ritzui on behalf of the Oledes because she's gone. There can't be ritzui on behalf of the Yarshim because only a Oledes can have the ritzui of a carbon Oledes. So then now we're going to have to make a new breakthrough here, and this is going to undermine the question of Reish Lakish, and is going to shed a light on our Mishnah and Zvachim, that you could have a carbon that's kosher without ritzui. And that's going to be the case of Yoledes Shemesa in terms of the carbon ola. That carbon ola will be brought without a ritzui, because Mimonoshach is no ritzui. There can't be ritzui on behalf of Yoledes, she's gone. The child here in this case is not a Yoledes. And therefore, the ritzui cannot be related to the child who's bringing the carbon, the heir, if you will, and yet the carbon is kosher. So we've now broken new ground. We now have a precedent for something that Reish Lakish found so paradoxical that he rejected it, that you can have a carbon that's kosher without ritzui. Now, what we want to make a big deal about today is that the Gemara seems to assume that this breakthrough is based on the fact that the heir, the Yoresh, is not a Yoledes. What would be in a case where the heir would be a Yoledes? And this is the diuk, this is the meticulous reading of the Chazon Ish, as we'll get to Mirz Hashem as we prepare for this Chazon Ish. You really need a lot of stages of preparation to appreciate the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that the Gemara is implying that if, let's say, there was the Yoledes, the mother, she's gone, and now there's the Yoledes, the daughter, she also gave birth, then the carbon would be a ritzui on behalf of the daughter. So let's say we gave the example of Leah gave birth to a daughter named Rachel, right? And after time, not only did Leah give birth, but the daughter Rachel gave birth. Says the Chazon Ish, apparently from the Gemara, you get the impression that there would be no problem, Reish Lakish would have no issue with the fact that Rachel, the daughter, as the Oledes, could bring this carbon. Because if you'll tell me, well, the carbon is designated for Leah, and the heir doesn't have any relationship to the carbon and its power of kapara because the heir is not a Yoledes, but in this case we found a hechatimtza, some sort of scenario in which the heir happens to be a Yoledes, she needs a carbon Yoledes, she can now bring the carbon Yoledes that was designated for the mother as the Yoledes, because she's also a Yoledes. And that's going to lead us to various problems and issues as we go through a sugya one blot ahead of ourselves. That means we're going to fast forward to daf vav in just a minute. So it comes out like this. According to this reading of the Gemara, and hopefully we're reading the Gemara correctly, Reish Lakish would have no problem in the following scenario, but he'd have to capitulate in the second scenario. In the following scenario, where the heir, the Yoresh, is a Yoledes, then Reish Lakish could understand that without any issues, because if this carbon is designated for one Yoledes, it's going to be meaningful to set up a Ritzui for a different Yoledes. If that Yoledes can step into the shoes of the original Yoledes, become through Yerusha the Balas HaKarbon, which is going to be a sugya here for Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not Yerusha Kanya. So if we assume now, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a minute, that Yerusha Kanya means that the Yoresh now not only has Kinyonim in Dini Mominus, but also has Kinyonim as far as being the Baal HaKarbon is concerned, as far as Kachim is concerned, and all we need is to set up a Ritzui on behalf of that Yoresh, then in the case where the Yoresh was Yoledes herself, she now has a meaningful Ritzui through this carbon Yoledes. She becomes the Balas HaKarbon through Yerusha Kanya, and now Reish Lakish would have no problem with this, because you have the Balas HaKarbon, which is the second Yoledes, the daughter Yoledes. You have the Ritzui Karbon of an Olas Yoledes in this case, because she is also Yoledes, the heir is Yoledes. Through what mechanism would she become the Balas HaKarbon? That's called what? Yerusha Kanya. Everybody have that, Yerusha Kanya. And the only case that Reish Lakish is going to be hard pressed about, with his back against the wall, is going to be the case where the heir, the Yoresh, is not a Yoledes, in which case the Ritzui of this carbon could not in any way be related to the Yoresh. So even if I grant you, which is the premise of Rabbi Yochanan at this point, that before we see Menachos, right? That's before Menachos, right? The premise is that Yoresh Kanya, and therefore the Yoresh, who's not a Yoledes, is now the Baal HaKarbon, but where's the Ritzui? Is this a carbon that's kosher without Ritzui? So Rabbi Elazar Lishitaso says, well, that's the underlying premise of our Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Zvachim, you can have a carbon that's kosher without a Ritzui. Reish Lakish has problems with that. He doesn't know, he can't fathom how you could have a carbon that was meant to be Maratza, and now you've robbed it of its Ritzui through Shalolishma. And therefore, Reish Lakish is going to have the same problem of another karma that's robbed of its Ritzui, namely the case of Misas Bala Karma. And even if you'll postulate that there is a new Bala Karma after the Misa of the Morish through the process called Yerusha Kanya, but nevertheless, the Ritzui is not relevant because the Ritzui of this carbon is a Ritzui for Leda, for Yoledes, and now the child is not a Yoledes. So that's where Rabbi Elazar thinks he has Rabbi Yochanan by the gergel, as we'd say, you know, he has him by the neck, because here's a case where the carbon is kosher paradoxically without a Ritzui, and that's the case that Rabbi Yochanan is going to say Yerusha Kanya. Let's just read the next piece of Gemara. Maskev for Rav Asi says, I don't understand. Your premise is that there's a mechanism by which you can establish a brand new Bala Karbon, and the owner of the carbon is no longer the deceased, but rather the heir. Uman label unto e eka kame ese gabolo miskapra, became unto e dechi eka kame ese gabo machapra yosha nami machapra. Is this really true, that now the kapara could be somehow related through the process of Yerusha to a new person, the heir, so to speak? Is lememra de kanyulahu va'amar Rabbi Yochanan? We have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan to the effect that he niach mincha l'shnei bonav ames kreva v'ein bo shutfis, which means that in the case of a mincha where the Torah completely excludes a korban mincha of shutfim, we're going to have to assume, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Yerusha lo kanya. Otherwise, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement of ein bo shutfus? And now the Gemara is going to have to reconcile how Rabbi Yochanan would say that Yerusha lo kanya as far as bailus and karbon, and therefore in the case of mincha it's going to be kshera, when we're assuming, and the Gemara is going to prove this point, that Yerusha Kanya, and even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Yerusha Kanya. So that's going to be the Hemshech HaSuvah.
Does that mean to say that if you hold Yerusha Kanya, you have to hold that there's no Lishma by Ritzui?
there's no lishma by ritzoy. I lost you on that.
Because the only way you're going to be kodah is if ritzoy requires the specification of who's going to get be marutza from this, then it can't be rishikanya. So if you say rishikanya, you must say that ritzoy does not require the specification, the specificity of the person that's giving it, but it can be transferred because we transferred.
Correct. So the whole issue of transferring ritzoy from one person to the other is the sugya that we want to study
right.
today.
Does that assume?
But let's assume we can convince ourselves that ritzoy can be transferred, which means the following: that ritzoy belongs to the Bala Karban. Whoever becomes the Bala Karban is going to gain and benefit the ritzoy of the Karban.
So that means
how do we achieve a transfer of the Bala Karban? How do you get Reuven to be the Bala Karban and then switch and transfer the ownership of the Karban over to Chanoch, let's say the son of Reuven? So that depends upon whether Yerusha Kanya or not. So the mechanism by which we can transfer the status or the person for Bala Karban from Reuven to his son Chanoch, or from Leah to her daughter Rachel, is only through what we call Yerusha Kanya. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that Yerusha Kanya. So if Yerusha Kanya, then we can set up a new Bala Karban.
But there are two different issues. A transfer of the Korban, as a Korban, you can do. How can you transfer the Ritzui part of it?
So that's the subject of Ashia today, but I just wanted to, if you don't mind, just get through the mechanics of it, so the first level. And then the first level is the following, that premise number one is that the ritzoy belongs to the Bala Karban. Premise number two is that if Yerusha Kanya, you can now transfer the status of the Bala Karban for that from Reuven the Morish to we'll call him Chanoch ben Reuven the Yorish. What we haven't discussed is, okay, you're saying that Yerusha belongs to the Bala Karban. That makes sense if the Karban was designated for that person. So if you have a discussion about Reuven himself, since he's the real McCoy, the genuine Bala Karban, the original Bala Karban, the Karban was designated, it was Mufresh on his behalf. Okay, that I understand. Then the Ritzui goes to him, he's the full-fledged Bala Karban, and there's a relationship between designating the Karban, which is called Afrasha, and the Bala Karban. And therefore the Ritzui Karban can be related to that person. In the case of Yerusha Kanya, it's a little bit more complicated, because although I can agree and establish that the Yoresh is now the Bala Karban, but in the case of Ritzui, to say that you transfer the Ritzui from the first Bala Karban to the second Bala Karban, that's a major evolution. If you grant me that premise, that somehow we can magically transfer through the Bailus of the Karban and the Kenyan of Yoresh the Ritzui of the Karban, then Reish Lakish is doing very well. And the Chazon Ish points out that if the Yoresh has that Ritzui, you know, is included somehow in that Ritzui, we have to figure out exactly how, but at least we understand that if the nature of the Ritzui is for a Leda, and if in a case where the Yoresh, and this we'll call it Rachel, is a Yoleda, so she has Leda, then somehow we can understand how the Ritzui is related to her. We don't know exactly how that's effectuated, but if it is somehow effectuated, if we can somehow, how should I say, overcome that barrier and solve the mechanics of transfer of Ritzui, we call it, then since the Yoresh, in this case, could have that Ritzui, right, she, meaning Rachel, the daughter, is also Yoleda, so therefore the Ritzui is meaningful for her, if we can somehow effectuate the not only the transfer of ownership over the Karban through Yerusha Kanya, which makes Leah, which makes Rachel, in this case, the daughter of the Balas HaKarban, but not only that, we can transfer the Ritzui together with the Balas HaKarban. If we can somehow achieve that goal, then Reish Lakish is okay. Reish Lakish has no problem. Why? Because since this woman by the name of Rachel is the Yoresh of the mother Leah, and she's also what? A Yoledes. So if the transfer of the Balas HaKarban is also going to impact on the transfer, is going to create and generate a transfer over the what? A Ritzui. How do you call it? Transferal? Or
transference.
Transference. Okay, let's try to get the right word. So if there's a transference not only of the status of Bala Karban, but if we can somehow, again, that's what we're going to discuss today, achieve a transferal. No, what do we get?
Transference.
Transference, sorry. You know, once it's a whole, the dosh. a transfer of the what? Of the Ritzia Korban. Now you'll ask me, well, how could that Ritzia be related to Rachel? She's not a Yoledes. So the answer is, says Chazi, she is a Yoledes. Oh, that's one way of understanding it, and that's the case of Yoledes. And if we solve the problem of transferring over the Ritzui, then Reish Lakish is a happy camper. But Reish Lakish is going to be hard-pressed in the case where the Yoresh is not a Yoledes, because how can the Ritzui possibly be related when the Ritzui is a Ritzui of Leda? And we're talking about an heir who might become the Balak Karba. The Ritzui is Mufka, is completely irrelevant to the Balak Karban in this case, because the Balak Karban is not a Yoledes. And that's where Reish Lakish is hard-pressed, because what we're going to have here is a Karban that's kosher without Ritzui.
And one of the mechanics here, all this is only relevant in the case of Yerusha. In other words, the Kenyan we're talking about, it has to be a Kenyan where the original owner no longer exists, but it can't be a Kenyan through any other form of Kenyan.
I don't know. That's a sugi in Masechta Pesachim that Yechiel is touching on. Like, for example, in Pesachim, the way the Korban Pesach is defined in terms of the Bala Korban is through a process called Minui. Have you heard of it? Minui.
Yes.
Otherwise known as Chabura.
Designation.
Designation. Excellent. So the question is, can you somehow transfer ownership over the Korban Pesach in such a way that, let's say, Reuven was an original member of the Chabura, and through a Kenyan Mammon, because the Pasuk there says Tachusa al Aser, he can transfer ownership from himself, we'll call him Reuven, over to Shimon, and now Shimon could buy into the Korban and become a Bala Korban. Okay, so that's the sugya himself. Now let's turn to Daf Vav Amud Aleph. And if we turn to the sugya da vavam and aleph, we're going to really see how problematic it is to transfer a ritzui on a korban. It's really not simple at all. So we're taking a look, I would say, maybe it's smack in the middle of the daf, or maybe it's two-thirds down from the top of the amud, iboilahu. If it helps anybody, there's a tosis dibra maskil de'i on daf vav and aleph, the e. And if you go a little bit higher up on the daf, then you'll see iboilahu. Does everybody have that? Okay, that's the best I can do.
Iboilahu.
Okay, so we're talking So if you have the iboilahu that's above Tosis the e, we're talking about the case of an ola, and we're talking specifically about the kapara of the ola. Iboilu. The Gemara has the following suffix. Esei dili achara frosha machapra o lo machapra. Now we're talking about the power of an ola to be machapra for what? As we discussed many times, a mitzvah aseh. Now, if a mitzvah aseh was violated, meaning the non-compliance, non-fulfillment of mitzvah aseh, the ola has the power to be machapra. But what happens if the ola was already designated, there was a hafrasha of the ola, and then subsequent to that hafrasha, the bala karban violated an esef? And the paradigm case for the achra hafrasha is going to be chatos, but there the Gemara has no suffix. So let's just fill in some of the blanks that's going to come up around the bend. In the case of a karban chatos, the sequence is absolutely critical. Namely, there was chet, and then it was hafrasha for that chet. If, on the other hand, there was a hafrasha first, and then a violation of a chet, that karban could not be mechaper. The Gemara wants to know now, where do we fit ola into this picture? Shall we equate ola with chatos, which means that just like in chatos, the chet came first, and then there was hafrasha? So to an ola, the chet has to come first, and then it could be afrasha. So the man didn't take a lulav on sukkahs, and then he was mafrish an ola. Or is ola somehow different than chatos? And the ola could allow for a hafrasha first, and the violation of an essay second. Mi amrinin, should we say, mi didavi achatos, ma achatos, the kodem afrasha in. If you violated the chet, let's say, for example, he ate chelev, and then he went ahead and he was mafrish a carbon chatos, that's fine. But if on the other hand he was mafrish a carbon and then he ate chalev after the afrasha, look, there's no possibility of this carbon being mechaper. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Chumash here in Vayikra Dalet. It says, "O hoda elav chatosa," meaning he found out about his chet, and then he went ahead and he was mafresh a karma. That's what the Torah prescribes as the classical case of a chatos. Had it been in the reverse, where he designated the carbon as a chatos and then he violated a chet, there'd be no possibility of that carbon being mechaper. If we take that paradigm of chatos and we applied it now to the case of Ola, so then we would say afhacha here too, in the case of an Ola Nami. If he violated the essay kodem hafrasha, and that's like the case of violating a chelev before hafrasha's chatos, and it's fine, it's mechaper. But if on the other hand li achar hafrasha, if he violated the essay after that hafrasha, lo. So at this point in the Suffolk of the Gemara, we have an absolute equation between Chatas and Ola. O Dilma, now we get to the second side of the Suffolk. Lo dam yo lachatas. An Ola is different than a Chatas. And the case of an Ola allows for the following flexibility. He violates the essay after the Afrasha. So first came the Afrasha of an Ola, and then came the violation of the essay, and the carbon Ola will be Machaper. Why is it different than Chatas? Lo dam yo lachatas. The chatos al kol chet v'chet boi li suye chado chatos. Every chet requires its own exclusively dedicated chatos. So the chatos is exclusively dedicated for this chet. And if you violate another chet, then you're going to have to bring a different chatos. That's not true in the case of Ola. The Gemara establishes that v'hoch in the case of an Ola, kevan, meaning even if Deika kama esse gabe, he has many violations of an essay, so he didn't take a lulav, and he didn't sit in sukkah, and he wasn't a kind of mitzvah liel leregel, bisman shabigdash kayim, etc., 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 is machapra. He can kill many birds with one stone. In other words, with one carbon ola, he can achieve kapara for many violations of multiple essays. Is therefore our essay deliachar afrosha nami mechapra. The Gemara thinks that maybe we could be even more flexible and push the envelope even further and allow for an ola to be mechapra not only for many different violations but even for violations that were incurred subsequent to the afrosha. And apparently what the Gemara is analyzing here is how do we understand the difference between chatos and ola as far as kama essay, where in chatos it's all called chet v'chet, that since the chatos has to be related to the chet, so when I'm mafresh a chatos, it's specifically and exclusively related to that particular chet, and you can't even postulate such a thing if the chet was violated l'achar afrosh. So you need chet prior to afrosh. But mashen ken in the case of an ola, that an ola has some sort of general kind of kapara, and it can be mechaper for many different essays, then perhaps it can be mechaper even for an essay that came after the chet. L'maisa, after the Gemara goes through many different possibilities of a raya, the Gemara is going to bring a raya from a braisa with regard to smicha, the Gemara is going to try Rava's possibility and Rav Huna's possibility, and then Mirz Hashem, when we get to the Vav, we'll try to see if we can understand all the different rayas and why the Gemara rejects these rayas. But the Gemara, at the end of the day, comes to no definite conclusion, and therefore, the Gemara da Vav Amid Bey says that in a case lamaisa where you brought an ola, where you designated an ola, and you haven't violated the essay, if you know about a violation of the essay, you're going to have to bring a second ola. So now let's go back to our sugya here on Daf Hei Amid Beis. We have the case of a Yoledes. The Yoledes died, and she hadn't brought her carbon ola. So this is the ola of the Yoledes. We'll call her Leah. Now Leah dies. Now the Gemara says that we're going to bring, who's going to bring? A Yoresh is going to bring that carbon ola. Now, what's going on over here? If says the Chazon Ish, the Yoresh, or Yoreshes, I guess you'd say, is Rachel, and Rachel gives birth, and she too is Yoledes. The Gemara seems to assume, hands down, without any hesitation, and even Reish Lakish would have no problem with this, that the Yoledes, if you assume Yerusha Kanya, and now we're holding Yerusha Kanya, she will bring that karmon, and not only will she bring the karmon that was designated for her mother's leida, but she would also achieve what?
A ritzui
for that karmon, because she's also Yoledes, and Reish Lakish would have no problem about that. So the assumption is that there'll be ritzui on behalf of the second Yoledes, meaning the daughter, as opposed to the mother. So the problem is as follows. The Gemara comes to absolutely no conclusion about the case of a violation of an essay, meaning a chet, li'achar afrosh. Meaning, we're talking here in the case of chatos, of Yoledes, not about the chatos, because the chatos she brought, meaning Leah brought during her lifetime, we're talking about the Ola. And with regard to Ola, so for example, if let's say the chatos was not brought during the lifetime of the mother, the Oledes, then there would be no possibility of the daughter, who's the Oledes, we'll call her Rachel, of bringing that chatos. Again, for many different reasons, but one reason is primarily because the chatos has to be designated for a certain sin. Okay, we'll call it a sin in this case, but I mean for a certain leida. This chatos was designated for the leida of Leah, not for the leida of Rachel. So that was upgrade. That wasn't even a havamin in the Gemara's mind that Rachel could bring a carbon chatos for her leida. Because this chatos is brought and was designated for the leida of Leah, not for the leida of Rachel. But yet, in the case of Ola, and this is understandable, the Gemara thinks that Ola has a broader scope, and there's a possibility that if the ritzui of this Ola's Yoledes would be meaningful for Rachel, then Enafinami, Rachel could bring the karma. But there's only one problem. Even if I grant you that insofar as Rachel being a Yoledes, she is related to, or how should I say, she has a connection to the ritzui of a carbon Yoledes, but this carbon Yoledes was designated for whose leida?
Right.
For the leida of Leah, not for the leida of Rachel. Does the Gemara now assume the pshitus, what the Gemara in just one omen is going to vacillate back and forth? In other words, the Gemara has an Iboilu who, according to one side, we're going to equate Ola with Chatos. And just like Chatos has to be designated for a Chet, the Chet took place before what? Before the Ola was designated, before that Afrosh is Ola, I'm sorry, before that Afrosh is Chatos, so too in the case of Ola, the Chet, in this case the Bittul essay, the Averis essay has taken place before that Afrosh is Ola. Meaning the Ola and its Ritzui power has to be exclusively designated at the time of that Afrosh for X, whatever that X is. So in the case of a classical Korban Ola, it has to be designated for a Bittul essay, a violation of an essay. Likewise, in the case of Yoledes, the karmon, insofar as the Ola was designated for a specific leida, according to that side that we accept the analogy between Ola and Chatos, that leida has to take place before the designation of the karmon. The Gemara doesn't stipulate here when exactly did Rachel, the daughter, give birth? Did she give birth before the karmon was designated? You could have a case where both the mother and the daughter gave birth in the same hospital, right? We have neighbors where the daughter gave birth before her mother, and then the mother gave birth afterwards. And in some of the religious communities, it's not so rare that happens. But let me grant you that that's not what happened in Al-Gemara. The Gemara doesn't stipulate. It's a stone in the Gemara. So let's go through two scenarios. Scenario number one would be that this karbon was designated by Leah as an Ola right after she gave birth. Her daughter, Rachel, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting her name, her daughter Rachel has not yet given birth. So now you're going to take this karbon that was designated for the Leda of Leah and say that now we can transfer it over to Rachel. That's against the Gemara. Well, I shouldn't say it's against the Gemara. It just supports one side of the Gemara. And that's going to be the second side, that Ola has a lot more flexibility than a karbon chatos. And even if the chiyuv for the karbon took place after that frasha, the Ola could still work somehow with Afreya to be mechaper on the chet. But the first side of the Gemara says that we have an absolute equation between Ola and Chatos, which means that just like in Chatos, the chet came first and the afrasha came second, so to an Ola, the chet came first and the designation came later. Here in this case, the designation is for the Leda of Leah, the mother, but not for the Leda of Rachel. Then the Chazanish goes even a step further. And he says, I'll tell you what, even if I grant you that Rachel, the daughter, gave birth before the Hafrasha, this Karbon, it's irrelevant. Because that would have the same status as Hafrasha and then Chet, meaning Chet Liach Hafrasha. Why? Because this Karbon is designated for whose Leda? For Leah's Leda. I mean, Rachel is obligated to bring her own Karbon. There's no way that Leah could, that Rachel could hang on, what's the word I want to use here, to latch herself on to the Karbon Ola of Leah, of the mother. Even though they're mother and daughter, but each Leda is Mechayev its own Karbon. In fact, we go even beyond that. The Halacha requires that for every birth, Leah has to bring a separate Karbon Ola. So let's say Leah gave birth twice, and she hasn't brought the Karbon Ola for the first Leda. She has to bring two Karbonis Ola. But surely, with a Kalachomer, Ben Benoshel Kalachomer, the Karbon of Leah as an Ola Siletis has no relationship whatsoever to the Leda of Rachel. Rachel has to bring her own Karbon. So the Chazanish therefore says, I don't understand. If we're assuming the first side of the Gemara Davov, that there's an equation between Ola and Chatos, if that be the case, then how could it be possible that the Ritzi Karbon of this Ola that was designated for the Leda of Leah could be related now to Rachel? And based on this Kasha, the Chazan Ish goes very far, really way out. And he wants to suggest that in this sugya here that we're learning on Daf Heyamid Beis, there was never a Hafrasha. That Leah was the Yoledes, they brought out Karbon Chatos, but she died before the Hafrasha. You with me? The Hafrasha never took place. So who's going to be Mafresh the Karbon Ola? It's going to be, in this case, Rachel. Rachel is at the same time a Yoledes, which means that the Karbon now could be related to her. But wait a second, the whole Gemara is built on what premise here?
Leah was the Hafrasha.
Well, again, you
erased the whole problem.
Yeah, you're a step ahead of me, Dr. Joel. I'm just saying, you're right, but I'm just backtracking a little bit. What I'm saying is, this whole sugya about whether the children, right, the heirs can bring the Karbon of the deceased parent, the Gemara presents that it all revolves, it all hinges on what? What issue?
Yerusha.
What's the status of Yerusha? Is Yerusha Kanya or Lo Kanya? Well, wait a second. If the Chazon Ish is telling me that the sugya here is addressing a case where the mother, that's Leah, who died after bringing her Karbon Chatos, had never even designated a Karbon Ola, so then what does that have to do with Yerusha? Forget about Yerusha. Right? I don't have to enter into the issue of Yerusha. Okay, it could be possible that the sheep was inherited by Rachel, the daughter, but that's not the issue. Now the daughter is the Oledes, she's going to be Mafresh that Karbon, and if you have no issue of Hafrash Aliach Aleda, because it's, you know, that it wasn't Hafrash Aliach Aleda, meaning the Leda took place afterwards, because the enterprise of Hafrash was implemented by Rachel, the daughter. If I get mixed up with the names, you'll stop me, but you know, you'll probably figure it out on your own if I mistake the names, but I mean Rachel, the daughter. So now it comes out that according to Chazon Ish, the Gemara seems to be, the Sugya seems to be racking its brains to try to figure out whether Yerusha Kanya or Yerusha Lo Kanya, meaning can the Yoresh become the Bala Karbon, and then we have to figure out whether the Yoresh as a Bala Karbon could have a meaningful Ritzui through this Karbon. Forget about that, all that. The whole discussion is irrelevant. Not only that, As Dr. Joel points out very well, how can you say there was no afrosha of the Ola during the lifetime of the mother? The whole sugya revolves around the issue of the mother bringing a karbon, and even if she didn't bring the karbon, there's what? There's afroshas hakarbon. Now the question is, do the yarshim inherit the chiyuv karbon of their parent? Forget about, again, whether Yerusha Kanya or not, in the sense of balas hakarbon, but simply there's halacha, which is called, again, this is a whole other sugya, I'm not even going to begin to touch the surface on this, it's called Shibud Doraisa, that based on this mechanics called Shibud Doraisa, the child, the heir, has to bring the karbon, but the heir is bringing the karbon on behalf of the Morish, on behalf of the
Lifter.
Yeah, of the mother of Leah, who had this key of labor. And that's where the Mishnah differentiates between what she brought during a lifetime. She brought the chatos, but she didn't bring the ola. She brought the ola, but she didn't bring the chatos. And that whole distinction is all because the yarshim have a chiv to bring the carbon on behalf of whom? On behalf of the mother. According to the Chazon Ish, in the case where the daughter, we'll call her Rachel, gave birth, there was no afrush of the carbon during the lifetime of Leah. So what does it have to do with our sugya? I mean, it's a whole different sugya over here, because basically when Rachel inherits this karbon, now inherits this animal, I would call it, and now she has a leda and therefore chiyuv of olas yoledes, she goes ahead and she's mafresh the karbon. So now the karbon is ha karbon. This has nothing to do with the issue of can it be a ritzui for someone? The whole issue of can it be ritzui for someone, Liachar Misa, only applies, or shall I say, surfaces in a case where during their lifetime they designate as a karbon. So through the mechanics of Yerusha, the Yarshim will bring the karbon of the Morish, and then the question is, will it be a ritzui karbon? So that's where we get to Reish Lakish and Arbeleza, there is ritzui, there's not ritzui. But I don't get it, according to the Chazon Ish, he was mafresh the karbon, or she was mafresh the karbon, way after the death of the mother, and she's the Oledis herself. The whole issue of transferring, through Yerusha, transferring the status of Bala karbon and Ed Debut the Ritzia karbon is totally irrelevant. So what I want to do is, if you can, I don't know who is able to do this, but to open up this sefer that's called Nefesh Tova Chelek Aleph, and we'll take a look at the Mar Makomas page to figure out what page it's on. Just give me a second. Oh, here it is. It's on page Ayin Dal. And in this case, I think I was mocked to get your edition so that we'll get the page right. Okay. So let me ask you this. How many people in the class have the Sefer with page Ayin Dal? Well, not except for Dr. Joel. You don't... Well, you should look at it at least once. But... Jeff, you have it? Anybody else have it?
That's fair
enough. You gentlemen have it too? Okay, so most of us have it, right? And for those who don't have it, it becomes Torah Shebaal Peh. That's also okay. So if you're looking on... Let me just see again. Where did I say it was? I keep looking at an old page here. That's not going to help me. Sorry. So you have it on Daf Ayin Dalet, correct? Okay. So I have it. I'm talking to myself now, not to anybody else. I have it on page Ayin Beis. Okay.
Oh, so it's Sif Ayin Dalet.
The Sif is Samach Zayin. The Os, I don't know whether you call it Sif or Simon or Os, is Samach Zayin, 67. But you should find the paragraph that's relevant to us, because again, it's a very long presentation, you should find on page Ayin Dal. Okay then? Yeah, there's one paragraph that starts Chazoni, and then the next paragraph after that should say Vitzarech Iyun Daha, because there are all the Tzarech Iyuns here in this essay. Vitzarech Iyun Daha. I'm going to try to highlight this paragraph for those who have the text and can see it inside, that's even better. But just in case you don't have the text, I'm going to just focus on what I think are the highlights of this question that he asks. So again, the Chazon Ish is assuming that the parent, again, it could be in the case of a father and a son, in the case of Yoledes, we're talking about a mother and a daughter, whatever the various, various permutations, it's not relevant to us. But in all these cases, says the Chazon Ish, Mairi, the case is that the father was not mafish the carbon during his lifetime. Why is the Yoresh obligated to be mafish a carbon based on the chiyuv of the father? That's called shibudu d'oraisa.
Where is that?
You don't have it here?
It's not on
your sheet. How did that happen? We don't know. Okay. Javi needs to see the text inside. This is an old one, I guess. All right. So Javi will try to get you a copy, Buli Neder. But again, I'm not reading it inside. I just want you to hear it, Falper. And he says the following. How could it be that the Afrasha took place, or shall I say was implemented, by the Yorish, but the Chiyuv HaKarbon is vis-a-vis the father? So again, the Yorish is obligated through this mechanics called Shibudu D'oraisa to bring a Karbon for the Chiyuv of the father. He says, if that be the case, then where's the kapara? Again, the entire thrust of the Gemara is to try to establish that the Yoresh, when he or she brings the karma of the father or the mother, is going to achieve a kapara. And the Gemara differentiates between the case where the Yoresh is a Yoledes or not a Yoledes, and would this be proof against Reish Lakish? If there's no kapara, this is a proof against Reish Lakish. If there is kapara, it's not a proof against Reish Lakish. He says the following. You want to tell me that this is a case of Leda and of Hafrasha and then Leda, correct? Or Hafrasha and then Chiyu. Right? What's the... I'm sorry if I lost you in the mathematics. Again, the whole purpose of the Chazon Ish, his goal, is to prove that in our sugya, when the Yorish is bringing the karbon, then the karbon comes after the mechayef, if I can use that term. So, for example, in the case of Leda, the Leda is the mechayef. In the case of a regular karbon ola, the violation of an essay is mechayef. In the case of a chatos, it's going to be the violation of a chiv kares, of a chelev, right? So we want to now assume an equation between ola and chatos. So just like in the case of chatos, the first side in the Gemara Daf, that the first has to come the chet and then afrosh. So too in the case of ola, first has to come the chet or the machayev in the case of leda, and then comes the afrosh. Since the Chazon Ish, I have no problem over here. Why? Because the afrosh took place after the death of the morish. Says the Nefesh Tova, I don't understand what the Chazon Ish accomplishes by this. The whole reason why the Morish is bringing the Karbon is because of which Chiyuv? The Chiyuv of the deceased, of the parent. Now, if the Karbon has to be brought because of the Chovas Ha'av, which now is inherited through Shibud HaDoraisa by the Yorish, then once again, it comes out that we have now a hafrosha lechovas ha'av ligabei, with regard to the yoresh who's bringing the karbon, it's liachar hafrosha. You want to say the Chazon Ish that this is before the hafrosha, and therefore it squares with the Gemara Davav. No, this is liachar hafrosha. Why is this liachar hafrosha? Because if the hafrosha is being done for the Chovas Ha'av, but yet who is supposed to achieve the Kapara? The son is supposed to achieve the Kapara, right, through Yerusha Kanya. Then as far as the son's Kapara is concerned, this Afrosha is related to the father. It's again by definition Liach Afrosha. Again, we get a little confused here. We assume, let me backtrack a little. I did mention this point, but maybe I didn't clarify it. I didn't emphasize it enough. Let's not make the following mistake. The concept of Liach Afrosha is not a sequential, chronological concept. It doesn't necessarily, again, in many cases it will be, that A took place first, and then B, we have to have the chet, and then Afrosh, if the Afrosh took place before the chet, the carbon is not machaber. It doesn't always have to be that way. Meaning, you can theoretically have a case in Yerusha, which, although the event that took place before the Afrosha, but yet it's still considered Liach Afrosha. Why is it considered Liach Afrosha? Because in order to determine Liach Afrosha, we're going to look at the Kapara. Who is gaining the Kapara? If so-and-so is gaining the Kapara, and the Chiyuv Karbon is on behalf of, again in this case, the Morish. So again, what's happening here? The Yoresh is going to achieve Kapara, and that's this whole sugya here, that the mechanics is through Yerusha as a kinyan. Now, the Yoresh becomes the Balak Korban as far as the Kapara is concerned. That's always going to be Kodem Afrosha. Why is it going to be Kodem Afrosha? No, I'm sorry. My mistake. It's always going to be Liach Afrosha. Let me not make this mistake. I should write this on the board. Right? What's the problematic case? Right, just get the lingo here. The problematic case which led to the stira, the kasha from Davov, is always going to be, right, Liach Afrosha. So if you talk about this concept in a chronological frame of reference, in the classical case of Chet, it means Chet Liach Afrosha. And that's going to be a psul. Do you follow me? By psul means there's no kapar in this case. Now we're assuming that not only in Chatos is this going to be a psul, but even in Ola that's going to be a psul. Why? Because the Chet took place after the Afrosh.
Who did the Chet?
No, I'm just saying in a classical case, and then we'll get to our case of Yerusha, what happens is that so-and-so, whoever you give him a name, after he does Afrosha, he violates an essay. And if we assume the equation between Ola and Chatas, that's possible.
It won't help.
Right, so that's Chet Liach Afrosha in the classical sense. Okay. But let's not get confused. What do I mean, let's not get confused? This issue of Liach Afrosha is not necessarily a chronological issue. It really doesn't depend upon, you know, whether event A took place before B or the reverse. You know, Chet before Afrosha, Afrosha before Chet. On a conceptual level, you can have what's called Liach Afrosha whenever the person for whom the kapara is relevant, excuse me, is someone other than the person for whom the carbon is designated. Once I have that separation, let me plug in the case of Yerusha. So the carbon is designated for the chova of the father. The son is now going to bring the carbon and he wants to be mechaper. That by definition is called Liach Afrosha. Because once again, what's the point of Liach Afrosha? That the Afrosha sakarbon is not related to the miskaper. Does everybody see that point? Does anybody see that point? That's what I should ask.
What is the Yoresh? The Yoresh didn't do anything wrong.
That's what I was going to say. But what's he getting up on?
What's he getting? He didn't do anything wrong. Why is he? He's only bringing the
Olam. So the Gemara is going to say that every person has an essay. It's always a skeleton in the back.
So it's not after Afrosha.
Why is it the after Afrosha? Because the karma was designated for the father, not for the son. That itself makes it Liach Afrosha.
Why? What if the son has an essay he was involved in 3 years ago?
Again, it's not, you're stuck with the chronology. Forget about the chronology. The chronology is not relevant. Let me try to convince you of that. Why is the chronology totally irrelevant? The chronology is only a problem because what happens is that the Hafrasha has to be related to whatever individual is going to needs that Hafrasha. Do you follow what I'm saying? If I'm obligated in Hafrasha's carbon, then the Hafrasha has to be related to my chiyuv. If it's not, it's considered liachar Hafrasha by definition. It's irrelevant in the time sequence. Meaning,
the word la'achir is la'abdavke. It really don't mean anything.
In other words, through Shibuddha Doraisa, the Yoresh has to bring a carbon on behalf of whom? Of his father. Or again, in the case of Yoledes, on behalf of her mother. Forget about the male, female.
Yoresh has nothing to do with the second, with the Yoresh.
That's what I'm saying. In the case of Yoresh, by definition, it's going to be la'achir Hafrasha.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he has Averis that he violated, if the Yorish violated his Averis 50 million years ago, that's not relevant. It's always by definition Lachar Afrosha. Why? Because what's Lachar Afrosha? Lachar Afrosha means that the Afrosha is not related to the person who's obligated to bring the karma. The Yorish is only obligated to bring the karma of his father. Meaning the karma is mischayev, if you follow that word, I'm using the causative, mischayev, by the father, right? Because of the father, whatever language you want to use. If that be the case, then if the karma now is going to be somehow mechaper on behalf of the son for his averos, right, or whatever they may be, that's going to be liachar afrosha. Because again, what is liachar afrosha? Right. Let's go over it one more time. Liachar afrosha means the following: that the afrosha is a karma is related to a certain machayev, right? A certain, in the case of chatos, it's a chet. In the case of ola, it might be any number of possibilities. It could be a violation of an essay, it could be a leda, whatever it might be. How do I effectuate a relationship between the afrosha's karmon and the machayev? Again, using that term in a very abstract way. It's because the one who is chayev in the karmon, who needs this karmon, has a hafrasha on his behalf, such that now the kapara can relate to him. Do you follow me?
Yes.
So if, let's say, in the classical case of sequence, of chronological sequence, what it means is that the chayt came before the hafrasha. But it's irrelevant, because I can give you another case where the hafrasha is not related to the one who wants to achieve the kapara, because someone else was chayv in this karbon. So as soon as you split between the person who's chayv in the karbon, which is the machayev, and the person who's getting the kapara, you automatically have hafrasha liachar chayv, and the karbon is possible.
Then what's the purpose of Shibuddha Doraisa? The son has
no. The Shibuddha Doraisa just imposes an obligation on the son to bring his father's karma,
which he can't fulfill because the Ritzoy can't work for him.
That's exactly what we're asking. So the Chazon Ish doesn't help us at all. The Chazon Ish wants to solve the problem of Liachar Hafrasha. Comes along the Nefesh Tov, but he says he hasn't solved this problem. So what is the Chazon Ish's solution? He says, well, let the Yoresh be mafresh the carbon, right? There was no hafresh carbon during the lifetime of the father. That doesn't solve your problem, because the Yorish is only bringing the carbon b'toras the chiyuv of the father. If he's bringing the carbon b'toras the chiyuv of the father, it's always going to be liachar hafresh. The Chazon Ish kaviyachol, again, we have to see the Chazon Ish, but I'm saying, at this point in the development, the Chazon Ish thinks he can solve the problem with a chronological switch. Don't assume, says the Chazon Ish, that it was the Yoledes who was mafresh the karma. No, it was the Bas who was mafresh the karma. Says the Rosh Hashiva that you just skirted the question. Circumvented the question, but you really didn't accomplish a thing. Why? Because conceptually, it's irrelevant who does the hafrosha and when the hafrosha took place. What sets up a hafrosha, which is kodem hachet, right? Which is possible, is whenever the afrosha is not related to the kaparas hakarbon. We have a, how do you say it in English, a disjoint, you know, when you disconnect. Can we use that term, a disconnect?
No linkage.
Right, the absence of linkage. Whenever you have a disconnect between the chiyuv of the karbon, right, for which the karbon is designated for that chiyuv, and the miskaper, where the chiyuv is related to Mr. X, and yet Mr. X is no longer around, he's no longer alive to achieve and benefit from that kapara. Instead you want Mr. Y, in this case, your age, to achieve the kapara, that's going to be Leach HaFrosha. Because what is Leach HaFrosha? Leach HaFrosha means that the HaFrosha can't be related to this Machayev. Here also the HaFrosha can't be related to this Machayev. Let's see if we see it inside, maybe it'll be a little... Are these my glasses? Okay, good. I don't want to steal anyone's glasses here, they probably won't fit. He says the following, Shuv Kasha. How could it be that the son is going to be miskaper with the karmon that he was mafresh on behalf of his father's chiyu? Kevon shefrisha lechovas ha'av, havi ligabe ke liach hafrosha. You're back to liach hafrosha. The sequence is not relevant here. When did that frosha take place? Liach hafrosha just means when there's a disconnect between the chiyu of hakarmon and the miskaper. By definition, that becomes liach hafrosha. So to appreciate this, we have to see another sugya. Okay, let's go back to Navav.
It's just the wrong word, va'achir.
Yeah.
Why are you using that word at all? It has no connection.
No, va'achir afrosha is the case that the Gemara addresses in the sugya Navav. What was the scenario in Navav? It was a person who was mafresh karmon before he did the chet. But ask yourself the question, is that the only case of liach hafrosha? What was the yesod that underlies liach hafrosha? Let's analyze it. Let's dissect it. And when we dissect it, we come up with the following thesis. This hafrosha is not related to the mechaper. Why is it related to the mechaper, the kaparas hakarmon? Because at the time of that hafrosha, there was no chet. So how could it be related to the kapara? Good. Says the Rosh Hashiva, any scenario in which that frosha is not related to the miskaper, so that the kapara power is not inherent in that frosha, that's called liach hafrosha. It doesn't matter when the chet took place, that's not relevant, and that is to whom the chet relates, or to whom the machayev relates. So if there was a chiyuv on the father, and through a mechanics called shibud d'oraisa, the heir, the yoresh, has to fulfill vicariously that chiyuv of the father, that's going to be by definition liach hafrosha. Why? Because that frosh is related to the father, and not to the kapara of the son. Again, irrelevant when the son implemented his avera, whether he violated the essay a million years ago, or whatever he did. That's irrelevant. Once there's a disconnect between the hafrosha and the kapara, that is called liach hafrosha. The Gemara uses the term liach hafrosha because it's addressing a specific scenario where the chet was violated after the hafrosha. Okay, so that's why the Gemara uses that term. But when you get down to the yesod, you know, what underlies it, the problem is goes way beyond the sequential chronological issue, and it enters into the issue of, is there a relationship between the hafrosha and the kapara? Well, if this karbon is for the benefit of the mother, right? It's for the like, for example, do you remember we discussed the following a few minutes ago? Let's say Leah gave birth, correct? Then Rachel gave birth. Leah dies before she brings the old. Now we want to suggest, well, let that carbon be brought by Rachel for her later. The answer is that's impossible. That also is going to come under liach hafrosha. Why? Because every later requires its own carbon ola. This carbon ola is being brought by Rachel on behalf of her mother. She can't use it for her own chiyuv. So if the kaparas hakarbon is related to the original chiyuv of later, namely the chiyuv later of Leah, then Rachel no way, no how could enjoy the benefit of that kapara. Because if she gets the benefit of the kapara, then it's not related to the afrosha. And it doesn't matter when the labor took place, before the afrosha or after the afrosha.
Maybe the labor took place and the woman died before she was able to be mafrish.
But again, if the daughter is being mafrish, this karma, she's not going to be mafrish to come for her own labor.
She's mafrish for the mother.
For the mother's
labor. She wasn't able to do it.
And that goes through the halacha of shibud d'oraisa, meaning that the yorish has to be. So if she's being mafrish this karbon for the sake of her mother's labor, how could that karbon be mechaper for her labor? That becomes the liach hafrosha.
But why isn't... That's why I asked you before, Rabbi. If the chazan ish holds that the that Ritzoy does not require Lishma, then there's no problem. Because Ritzoy doesn't require Lishma, doesn't require Lishma, then the Yoresh requires the Korban, the physical body of the Korban, by Shibud D'Oraisa. And when it comes along with the Ritzoy, which is an open Ritzoy for anybody who has the Korban, and he has no problem with it. You don't have to worry about it.
But again, Alan, here's the question.
So you have to apply
are you on board with the following?
Yes.
Namely, that this Korban and its Hafrasha is for a certain chiyu, that's number one. And number two, the Kapara is related to someone else. So the relationship between this carbon and the Bala Chiyuv carbon, for which the carbon is designated, that's called Afrasha, is the father or the mother in the case of Lego. And yet the Kapara now, which is the whole thrust of Asugya, is going to be related to someone else.
Absolutely.
Namely to the Orange.
That's what I'm saying.
But once you admit that, then you're back to square one. Because becomes Liach Afrasha.
No.
What is Liach Afrasha? Liach Afrasha means a split, a disconnect, as we called it, between the Afrasha and the Kapara. Anytime you have a disconnect between the Hafrasha and the Kapara, you're stuck with the Achar Hafrasha. And this is a perfect example of a split between the Hafrasha and the Kapara, because the Kapara can't relate to whom? To the deceased. And yet the Chiyuv Karbon is for the deceased, right? Because that was the person, that was the individual who, let's say in the case of a Yoledis, gave birth, in the case of some other Chet who's obligated to that Karbon. So now you're imposing a Chiyuv on the child, and the Gemara wants to say that since Yerusha Kanya, that the child is going to achieve the Kapara, I don't care when that Frush of this Karbon took place. I don't care when the Chet took place.
Correct.
What I care about is that there's no connection here between that frosh and the kapara.
Yeah, but that's only
there's no connection between that frosh and the kapara. That's with liachar.
That's only because you say that the hafrosha is specific to the first person,
to the deceased. But, we'll call
because,
it.
Right. What I'm saying is that Chazon Ish is saying is that's not true. That you don't need a specification when it comes to making the korban a korban for ritzoy. What is important is kapara. When it comes to kapara, that's different. Once you take the animal, this animal is now because of the hafrasha set up a ritzoy for the korban. This korban is now able to give a ritzoy. Once there is a ritzoy, that's a generic ritzoy. It doesn't require a specific person. It doesn't require lishma. But now, with kapara can only be given lishma, and that can't be given to the nifter because ain't in kapara.
Ain't kapara.
So therefore, the yoresh uses this animal that's available for kapara because of that. But his Yerusha took place on a generic basis, not on a basis.
So there's no benefit whatsoever to the mess.
But you have to admit it's a little paradoxical because that frush is being done because of the Chomus Ahav and the kapara is related to the men. You know, that's the paradox here. Let me just show you what the Chazon Ish points out here.
It's just transferable.
Yeah,
that's right. It's transferable because
it didn't apply to the first guy.
We take the punchline and move it over to the other guy.
But the chiyuv of bringing a korban in the first place was that came from the mace.
And if the son had no chatan whatsoever, the tzaddik gomer, what would he do? Would he do afresh?
Nothing. That's the problem with this whole concept. Now, what are you doing in Bechlau? I have a Shibud D'Oraisa to do it.
No, because
I don't get anything out of it.
Because there's a kites. It still becomes kites l'mizbeach. It's a korban that is a legitimate korban. It's just not. It doesn't have any uftu in terms of kapara. That's good because the Yorish doesn't need a kapara, and the Yorish.
I don't know. At what point can I? I don't want to intervene. Here.
Can I transfer the shear back to you?
Right. So, Moshe, what I want to show you here is another sugya, and thank God we don't have to take out a Gemara in Shavuos where the sugya is located, because Tosus quotes a Gemara in Shavuos. So, if you could fast forward here back to page Vav, Da Vav and Aleph. Okay. And the Gemara says, "Odilma lo damya lechatas." So you see that Tosfos? So again, this the Dibur HaMaskil of Tosfos. It's a little bit misleading. He's not focused on the second side of the Gemara per se. He's just focused on the suffix, meaning the Gemara vacillates whether or not Ola has the same status as Chatos, and therefore Liachar Frosh is possible, or no, Ola is different than Chatos. Lo Davi Lachatos, correct? Now Tosfos, with his brilliant erudition, says, I don't get it. I have a sugya, black and white, to prove this suffix, to be Machriya this suffix. Tema. Din Nifshot, Mimas Nisan. I have a Mishnah in the first parak of Shavuos. Okay, the afil Rav Shimon de lesle lev bezin masna lehem. Okay, now I don't want to get too far afield here about lev bezin masna, because that's not really the main thrust of our discussion today in this Tosfos. But what happens is that if one carbon is lost and you bring a second carbon, so very often what Beis Din does is they intervene and they set up a possibility that if you find the first carbon, you could still bring the second carbon. That has to do with the sugi called Lev Beis Din Masna. But in any event, what does the Mishnah establish? That even without the principle of Lev Beis Din Masna, in the case of a Sa'ir is a carbon that's brought on Yontif, Sa'irei Regolim, Shalokarav Ola Beregel. So let's say we're up to, let's say, Sukkos, we'll call it Tavshin Ayin Ches, right? We're almost up to Tavshin Ayin Ches. So they designated a carbon Sa'ir before Sukkos of Tavshin Ayin Ches. That Sa'ir went flying away, it flew the coop, and instead they brought a different Sa'ir to replace the first Sa'ir. Now they find the second Sa'ir. So the Mishnah establishes that in such a case, they'll bring that Sa'ir for the second regal. Now watch, the hafrasha took place before last regal, and yet the hakrovas hakarbon is going to take place before this regal. Now the purpose of this sa'ir, in the case of Moadim, is called to be mechaper for tumas migdash v'kadosha. It means that some of the members of Chal Yisrael may have inadvertently betuma entered into the Beis HaMikdash. So we need the carbon to be mechaper. Now let's go back to the original Afrasha. The Afrasha of this particular Sa'ir took place when? Before last Sukkos. If it was before last Sukkos, then it could be Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshim of Tavshin Ayin Ches, or Ayin Zayin, or whatever it was. Now we're up to Tavshin Ayin Tes. And you're going to bring that same Sa'ir that had Afrasha a year ago to be Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshim that took place
this year,
meaning subsequent to the Afrasha. So Tosfos says, you see from this, again, we're talking about a Sa'ir Shel Ola, the Olas Yomtiv, the Olas Regel, that in a carbon Ola, the carbon could be Mechaper for Chatoim that took place after the Havrasha. In other words, that this principle doesn't apply in the case of an Ola, because we don't accept the analogy between Ola and Chatos, which is the second side of the Gemara. That's why he publishes it after O Dilma Lo Damya LeChatos. Tosfos says, why does Gemara say, oh, Dilma? Forget about Dilma. It's not a Dilma. It's an explicit Mishnah. He says, Sar Shalokarav La Beregel. I don't know, maybe there's a Girsa. Eventually he'll say, Yikar Beregel Acha. Oh, Regel Zem means the first Regel because it was lost. Now it was replaced by another carbon. The carbon replacer was already Mechapir for last year's Tumas Mignish Mekadosh. And now we're bringing that same carbon this year. Afalpi should be regal sha'avru. In terms of all the violations of last regal, that was already covered by the
first,
by the substitute, if you know what I mean, the replacement carbon. Is the skapru kvar atumus mikdash kadosha dekodim kafrosha? But now he's bringing that same sawyer to be mechaper for the tumah shel achar kaf, meaning the tumah of this year. How could that work? And Tosfos says an amazing chiddush here. The Eshlomar, the Kavon Sha'avad, since that first Sawyer of last year was lost, the Karev Acher Tachtov, they substituted a different carbon to replace it, Igloi Milsa Dolohoisa Froshosam Afrosha, ad regal acher, until the second regal, the shachti with when he shechts the korban. So it's an unbelievable thing. Tosis is saying, and again, you see how pressed he is by this kasha, that he goes out on a limb and he uses the word igloy mils. I mean, he's short one word here. I would say igloy mils l'mafreya, but I think that's what he means. Mm-hmm. That the original afrosha is not afrosha. You can have afrosha, and afrosha will only be tofes, will only be chal, a year from now in this particular case, when that frush is meaningful, right? So now that frush is going to be meaningful a year from now in order to be mechaper for all the violations of this year. Again, at the time of the original frush, those violations had not yet occurred. But now he's going to take that original frush and he says, Igloy Milsa, that original frush was not frush. And when is that frush going to be chal? Erev Yom Tov this year, for all the Tumas Mikdash for Kadosh in the past year.
And what condition did the animal have until the following year?
I don't know. Maybe had no condition whatsoever. And Tosis claims, by the way, but this is not our part of the sugya, that works even without Lev Bezdin Master. So the Chazon Ish builds castles on this Tosis. Take a look. He says the following. He says, You'll see in the same paragraph that we're studying Ad Kam Lashona, because of a Chazon Ish, the Ke'ein Zei Yishlomer Hocha, the Kevin Delo Nishchat L'Shem Ha'av, right? When was that Frosha for the father? It was after his death. So the Chazon Ish wants to say that now we sort of, I don't know what word I can use, we redirect the entire process, and it's Mizbar da Havishal Ben. Now we're going to say that, forget about the father, this karbon, since who's going to be miskaper with this karbon? Again, we're going with Reish Lakish, that you need a kapara, it's going to be the son, so forget about the father. Now that frush is related totally and exclusively to the son.
It sounds like he's talking about even if that frush was done by the father. You
know, and maybe even if the frush was done by the father. Why? Because he's invoking the Tosis here. Beautiful.
He's dead, that's why.
He says, Ulam. He says, I did not Tzarech Iyun. I don't get it, he says, the Rosh Yeshiva. The Hoss of them is Lois Kaprivo. In the case of the Sire of all of Moadim, Enoch Inamini was never a Kapara. That was related to last year, miskapru bi'acher, because that kapur of last year was achieved by the sire that was replaced the sire. Ulekach, and therefore we could say gloy milsa, and we could take the carbon of last year and make it into a afrush of this year. Amol hacha here harit sarech lahakiv carbon zelechovas ha'ah. Again, we're going according to this Maniyama that says Shibud Doraisa, and therefore the son's obligation is for the chiyuv of the father. Lo shayach lemeimer misbarer. You can't say that now. I'm going to clarify that frush is not related to the son. I'm sorry, not related to the father, but rather related to the son. That's not true. You can't tell me no. It's the carbon of the ben. It's not the carbon of the ben. The only reason why the ben is bringing this carbon is because Shibud Doraisa. It means he's bringing it from Chomas Ha'ah. Now again, there's a long, long discussion here. I'm going to try to shorten this discussion, and I'm going to ask you to fill in the next couple of pages here, because I want to get to the punchline. So if you could tell me in your printing, because this I didn't write down, there's a paragraph here, Ve'hanira Mavur. Well, maybe I did write it down. Wait a second.
What page?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you, because it's my edition, it's Ayin Vav.
Ayin Vav.
Ayin Vav, great. So let's open up to Ayin Vav. Ayin Vav. A paragraph that starts by Hanira Mavur. And again, all the proofs that he brings are in the page or two that we skipped. So this is what you call shoddy scholarship, because I'm skipping. But I want to get to the punchline to see if we can possibly fit this in before Mincha. I don't mean a carbon mincha, but it's been called a carbon mincha. Vanira Mavuar, he says, the shiny Yerushas Karbonos Mishar Yerushas Momo. You remember that we discussed that this whole sugya about Yerusha Kanya, Lo Kanya, revolves around the question of to what extent do the mechanics of Yerusha and Momonos operate with a mirror image in the Kaparas HaKarbon, whether you can become the Baal Kaparas HaKarbon through Yerusha. He says, "Call Yerusha's mamon. We achar Yerusha lo hafi mamon av klal." right? A father goes his way, and then the son inherits the father. Who possesses the object?
The son.
The son, completely, exclusively. The father has no possession whatsoever.
He's dead.
He's dead. This reminds me of the sugya. I have a lot of jokes about this, but but this reminds me, in a serious vein, of the sugya of Ein Get Lachamisa. You remember that sugya? Yeah. That the father appointed a shliach to deliver the get during his lifetime. He died before the shliach got to deliver the get. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth until finally concludes that since he died, he's no longer the Baal, and therefore he can't deliver the get. And Afkamina's got to be Yibum, we got to be Zikas Yibum. But there was a Havamina that the Shliach could deliver the get even after his death, because there's some vestige left to the father even after he dies. That's called Zikas Yibum, in the case where he left her childless and he has a brother and so forth and so on. So the Rosh Hashiva is going to now establish that there is such a thing as ownership even after your death. Now, how can you own something after you die? Well, in Dini Mamonos, there's no such thing. And the Yerusha, totally, exclusively, without any hair's breadth of omission here, goes to the son. The father is out of the picture. However, Yerusha's Karbonos is Afli Achamisa Karev Lechovas Ha'av. The father is not out of the picture totally.
Right.
Kamosha Kosuat Tosis. All right, hey, does anybody remember we did this toast like months ago? It was one of the most difficult sugyas. Yeah, Tosis goes back and forth, and, you know, through Shibud the Daraisa. If the father is, you know, somehow the kapara is related to the father, even though he's dead, then ain't kapara lebesim. But nevertheless, since there's Yerusha, therefore there is kapara lebesim. That was the Tosis on Daf Dal. Well, so he says the following: Din Yerusha bekarbonos. Who was there? Shaben Yochel is kafir b'karban aviv. Do you hear the love this? It's very subtle. You can read this and miss the boat, miss the point. This is basically what I call a tzvei dinim of sorts. You know, that's just how I would translate it into my language. He's saying the following: that on the one hand, the karban really belongs to the father. But on the other hand, the kapara belongs to the son. So that in the case of Yerusha, algamein, meaning in Dini Mominus, the father's out of the picture. With Yerusha, there's only one individual, and that's the ben. He's Yoresh, and the father is completely gone. Not so in the case of Karbonos. In the case of Karbonos, the father's not out of the picture, because, after all, why is the son bringing this karban? He's bringing it because of the father. So he wants to suggest the following: the karban remains the karban of his father, even after his death. But the kapara belongs to the ben. It's a little bit similar to Yechiel, to your question of before. Can I, as a bala karban, sell you the rights to kapara? And if the answer to that would be yes, maybe it's true in Yerusha and only in Yerusha, but if the answer would be yes, when you make a kinyan on that karban, you are now bringing my karban, but you'll be miskaper with my karban. And the Roshim is now postulating that in the case of Yerusha, Yerusha kanya means you're konen the kapara, like if I sell you my karban, I'm only selling you the kapara, but the karban still belongs to Aviv. Umikomako mikri karban Aviv, karev lechovas Aviv, but the miskaper is going to be for what? For the son. Ulahachi, lule kra, hava mina di ein. Oh, okay, now he's going into the laws of Tmura. Ulefi zen nire, because again, we didn't cover Tmura today. We've discussed Tmura in the past, and we'll have to believe that it come back to it again. Nire, the kevon, the zeo mashin is chadish bedin Yerushas karbonos. Okay, the Gemara has the alfusa for Yerushas karbonos. The ben miskaper bekarbon aviv. Shapir Mahanile Nami Maisa Hafrosh Shala'av. In other words, we don't have to go as far as the Chazanish is concerned, that Hafrosh took place posthumously. Even if the father was Mafrish the Karbon. Well, I lost the place for a second. Shapir Mahanile Nami Maisa Hafrosh Shala'av in Hifrish Acher Chet HaBen. Okay, we have to add another stipulation here, another condition, that the Ben if he wants to be miskaper, right? So what significance? That's why I asked you before. Every carbon, it's the kapara has to fit the miskaper. You know, if the miskaper doesn't need that kapara.
That's why I was asking both his sons and the government doesn't have any chatons.
So right. So the Gemara seems anyway, in Ola that everybody needs it. Everybody needs a kapara, right? Of an Ola. The ain't tzadik baritz ashal yasit yasit tovlo yechto. So he says lo chashiv shemiskaper. Al chaytu li'achar afrosha. This is not called chaytu li'achar afrosha. Kevon sheyore yogash rak achar kach. Just one second. Again, the afrosha took place before the Yerusha. But how does the Yerusha work? The Yerusha sets up the kaparsa carbon on behalf of the Yorish. Just that he's going to be miskaper. Al carbon shall of. He says, Im haya Yerusha kishar Yerushos. If we would analyze Yerusha from the perspective of general universal Yerusha, sha'ovros mi bailus ha'av le'bailus ha'ben, then it would be a case of chet li'achar afrosha. Why? Because the bailus of the ben only begins li'achar misa. Right? When does Yerusha take place? Li'achar misa. Al kevon. Now here's the punchline. Kevon de balus ha'av ala korban kayemis af li'achar misa. So what now does the Yerusha achieve if the balus of the av continues even li'achar misa, which is a wild concept. It's a very revolutionary concept. That it's not like classical Yerusha where the balus of the av is completely paka, but now we're saying that the balus av continues even li'achar misa. So what did Yerusha accomplish as far as the carbon is concerned? Rakshi the Yeshla ben schus kapara the carbon of it. In other words, he, the Yoresh, is considered the Bala carbon le'inyan kapara, but it's not a brand new entity. In other words, the rights of the Yoresh as far as kapara is not specifically related to his averos. Again, the kapara is going to be for his averos, but his status as a bala karba with his chus kapara comes from the carbon of his father. Do you follow what he's saying? Again, before the kapara is going to be for the sins of the son, but the chus kapara that he has is because the carbon belongs to the father. But, and that's going to solve this problem, if you give me 2 more minutes, of li'achar, whatchamacallit, li'achar afrosha. He says, yesh leben schus kapara b'karban aviv. Memela yesh lomar, d'li olam kayemes schus zu, ulekach, maisa afrosha shala av, mahani nami l'masha miskaper bo aben. There are two potential miskaperim in the karban. And that halos miskaper is hal from the moment of afrosha, even though the father was the one who was mafresh. Again, all this is conditional on the fact that the son has averus that took place before the ma'isa afrosha. So we have afrosha li'achar achet. But what do you mean you have afrosha li'achar achet? The afrosha is related to the kapor of the father. The father was mafresh the kapor for his sins. How do you introduce the son's shaykhus to have a kapor for his father's sins? That's impossible. He says, "Ma'isa afrosh alav mahani nami l'mishem iskaper bo'ad ben im yarash es karbono." In other words, the rights of the son to the kapara are there from the time. I guess again, he doesn't say this, but I'm going to say this, and you'll tell me I'm wrong. But from the time that the son is born, he already has a schus kapara in all the karbonos that his father is mafish. When does that schus kapara materialize? Only after the father is dead. So the maisa afrosha of the father is relevant to two miskaperim. Number one, to himself, the father, if he lives to bring the karbon. But it's also relevant to the son, im. In other words, under the condition that the son could materialize his rights to kapara, im yarash es karbono. The Yisrael leben schus kapara b'karbon aviv on the condition im yavos. So again, there's chuyot in of Yerusha. Again, this only works in what? In dine karbonos. But as far as Yerushan karbonos, what it means is that the son has the schus to be miskaper for himself, for the son, in the carbon of his father.
But it brings up a different problem. Because his son has a chi of carbon as well for his own kin. not just a kapara for it. We're all still worried that the father has a chiyuv korban, it's related to him, and it has to be brought. Kapara goes to the son. But the son didn't bring in, wasn't fulfilling his own obligation to bring a korban for his chet. So now he has to bring another korban.
Well, yeah, wait a second. You're right in terms of that frasha, but not in terms of that krov. So this is going to bring us back to the whole question about frasha versus kapara. What I mean to say is the following. This korban is being brought by the son. Who did that frasha? The father. Who's going to achieve the kapara? The son. For whose sins? For his own sins, right? The sins of the son. How can the son bring a kapara when the afrasha was done by the father on behalf of the father's need for kapara, right? That was our cash against the chazanish. Says the Rosh Hashiva, we're missing one point. That there are two people who own this karma. There's the father who owns the karban, up until his death, obviously, and therefore the kapara, the afrasha, is related to his tzarech, his need for kapara. But there's also a zchus in the son to be miskaper with his father's karban. If the father doesn't use the karban, what would prevent the father from bringing the karban? His death. And now after the death, the Yerusha allows the son to materialize his zchus kapara. But that zchus kapara emerged even during the lifetime of the father. So when the father was mafresh the karban, there was in the back, you know, burdens, or shall we say in the shadows, what was lurking was the potential for that kapara to materialize on behalf of whom?
The son.
On behalf of the son. And therefore that frush is not considered, it's not considered a chait liachar afrasha, right? Because not only did the chait befall take place before that afrasha, because everyone's guilty of some sort of a violation of mitzvah say, but above and beyond that, even at the time of that afrasha, the kapara per se was related to the son on a conditional basis. When does that condition materialize itself, what we call in modern Hebrew hakshama, right, when it realizes itself? That's in the case where A, the father after that afrasha died, and B, who brought the carpet on the mizbeach? The son. And you'll ask me, but wait a second, that afrasha was related to the father. The answer is no, it's not exclusively related to the father, because the son, through the parsha of Yerusha, had rights. And basically, how does this connect to the Tosfos that we saw that above, that when we were mafresh the carbon for the regel, right, there was a different kapara that was inherent in this sa'ir for the averis of next year if they bring a different carbon. So bringing a different carbon in the case where you lost the first carbon is like the misa sa'av. And now the kapara power of this carbon is going to be chal at the time of the second regel, and it's already considered liachar frosh. But leaving out that whole piece, if you get a chance, I guess we'll stop here, but go through, if you can, this last paragraph. I've read it about a dozen times. I'm still trying to get a grasp.
You have to separate the kapar from bailus. The son has no bailus on the karma. That belongs to the father. He said it didn't go to Yerusha 100%. The father owns it. He gets the chus kapar. But doesn't the son have an obligation from the Torah to bring a karma for his chet? Not just to get kapar for his chet, he has to actually bring a physical karma. He didn't do that. You only got kapar. The karma was
As long as that frush was related to him, that's considered that he brought the karma for his chet. Again, he violated the chet. There was afrasha. That afrasha is related to him as a miskaper in event that his father does not avail himself of this kapara. He, the son, will now avail himself of this kapara. So that afrasha is related to the son, and that karma is related to the son.
I think
read it again if you can. Again, I'm sorry. I skipped a lot here to get to this because I. Let me just read it one more time. He's Memeli Yishlamed Deli Olam Kayemes Chuszu. You follow? That's the Lamafreya kind of dimension. Ulekach, therefore, Maisa Froshalaav, that already sets up a mechanism that Mahani, it should be meaningful. Nami Lamashim is Kaprabar Ben. Again, it's all conditional on the fact that the father won't enjoy and materialize this Kapara. He'll die. But Israel Ben's Chus Kapar, so the Afrosh itself has within it inherent a Chus Kapara for the son if his father dies. So he's going to bring the carbon of him, but he's the Miskaper, and that Miskaper power is emanates or is generated by the Chus Kapar that he had even at the time of that Afrosh. Okay, now he gets back to the Rambam, which he...
Now what's the nafkamina in the Tzemura? What's the nafkamina in the Tzemura?
I don't know. That far I didn't get.
Why isn't he just...
Shibuda de Arosa.